This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. There he is, Chris Arnold, riding shotgun, planting the flag.
Got you down.
Okay, really interesting article by Kevin Clark in The Ringer I read this morning. Easier than ever to be average in the NFL. There are some takeaways for the Cowboys on that discussion for you. But also, you know, what should we do with the teams that can't even be average? What does it say about these pathetic losers? We'll get there in just a second. The top headlines, though, at 105throughthefan.com, I like to pass along what these are. I do have another daily debriefing up today, and I talk about how passing the ball, especially in the first half of the games, is equating to success for teams that you might not expect to see it from. You can check that out. But how about this story? Jets linebacker C.J. Mosley doubtful at best for the game against the Cowboys. That's good news.
What's going on with him? Do you have why?
He's got an injury situation.
Okay. Shoot, that's... I mean, honestly, it's great news. At this point, I know there is kind of that injury jinx. We're pretty jinxed right now as it is with injuries. So yeah. Having one of the top 10 linebackers in the NFL not play against you, having their tight end have to miss when he was supposed to come back, I'll take it. We need a W really bad here.
So he had a groin injury from week one that he hasn't recovered from. And their tight end, Chris Herndon, has not recovered, and he did not practice today either. The good news for the Jets is that Sam Darnold is going to, return for them. So they did get some good injury news today.
Now, there's a whole bunch of teams that are worse. I shouldn't say a whole bunch. There's probably 3 to 5 teams that are worse than the Jets.
Yeah.
I just wonder at what point do you just say, there's no reason to win. C.J. Mosley, we signed you to a huge contract. I don't want to rip your groin. You might never be the same if we push that a little bit. We're out of the playoffs. Buffalo's 4-1.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks. We might be in the top five and get an incredible trade to move down.
Yeah, the Patriots are 5-0 in our division. It's over. So to me, I just wouldn't force trying to win a game if I'm the Jets.
I mean, their top priority has to be developing players, right? Because they tanked for a while. Now they're trying to come out of that. So if I know you're a good player, I'm definitely going to lean on the side of caution with your injury situation and try to get as many young players on the field to develop them. Sagan scored an OT, and the Stars beat the Caps for their first win of the season.
Go so Stars.
They're now 1-3, and you can read more about that at 105throughthefan.com. And then we talked about this one earlier. Former Baylor coach Art Briles reprimanded for ineligible players down there at Mount Vernon. This story's crazy, and I think it's probably a sign that he's being targeted. And I know many of you are going to be like, well, good. You know, they should be unfair to him. But it also makes things weird in high school sports. Back in September, a 3-0 vote made these players eligible. He had some out-of-state and out-of-area transfers come in, and now they're 5-0, and now it's a big problem. It's unknown why, but a new committee was formed, and this committee voted to not let these players be eligible and publicly reprimand Art Briles. So
doesn't sound fair to Art Briles, honestly.
No.
And I know that some people are like, I don't care. I don't want people to be fair to Art Briles. And I get where you're coming from. But that doesn't sound fair to a coach that they got a vote of 3-0. It's good to go. They can play in football games. And then for him to be responsible for those guys playing in football games.
I guess it's their sort of way of... you know, discouraging teams from hiring Art Briles.
Oh, this is just so political.
Kevin going, hey.
Here comes Hagee.
Kevin Hagee. Now,
he just pretty much gave me the don't defend Art Briles look.
Okay, and I know obviously I carry that a lot. I did just want to say in this thing in particular has nothing to do with my dislike of Art Briles. I've actually seen this happen a couple of times before where they'll have like the one committee and then they'll expand it out to the entirety of the district executive committee. We're probably going to talk about that on the show tonight because I went through the times with Marcus Smart when would he or would he not be eligible
at Flower Mound Marcus.
And so it's kind of unusual, but it's definitely not unprecedented to revisit an initial vote, and that's why they're not forfeiting any games. So, like, even though the players are not eligible now, they're not forfeiting any games. When usually if this goes down in the first go-around, you have to forfeit all
so
the games.
So why do you think he was? The players were then ruled ineligible? Did more information come in that they weren't actually living there? Or
and sometimes that can happen, or further proof can come forward that you transfer strictly for athletic purposes. There's a rule, at least in Texas, it's the 365 rule that you have to sit out from varsity athletics for 365 days if it can be shown that you move strictly for athletic purposes, which actually leads to some wild times where I've saw elite athletes
like
playing on the
shirt,
JV.
Like red shirt.
Yeah, it's really, it's really sad, but oddly entertaining. You like might run out to the
Jackson Tecmo Bowl type stuff.
Exactly. And you're like, wow, this doesn't seem fair at all. And so if some more information from that perspective came forward, then they could prove they just move for athletic purposes, which when you move across the country, I know sometimes that can be a little easier to prove. That might be why.
Have y'all got the latest, a 2-on-4, and I don't know if this is confirmed or not. They said the new story is that they are back eligible again. Have y'all heard anything new on this?
Oh, really?
Is there an update on it?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
They do have appeals in these processes.
Gavin had
a
question.
They said the new committee can't overrule the original ruling, and that's why they're eligible again or something. We'll find out.
Gavin had a question to us that I didn't have a great answer for. He said, why should that be illegal? Why don't they just let kids move for athletic purposes?
Okay, so it's a fake reason, but I'll tell you the reason. You can't possibly impugn the integrity of the magical specialness of high school athletics. So it's a fake reason.
Yes.
But that's the reason that they give you is because
it's
high school
kids.
Athletics are pure and it's strictly about the kids and it's not a business, even though we all know that that's not true. But that's the reason. And so you can't have people just jump in schools for athletic reasons because then it takes the purity into question.
And that stadium is so pure up there in Allen. And the stadium
Man,
in
yeah,
South
in
Lake is so pure.
And, yeah.
It just creates
all these
so,
new stadiums
so many
so
issues. I wonder what would be the problem if we just made it unregulated. Like, man, if you really want to pick up and move your stuff to a different town and have your kid go through, you know, readjusting to a new social scene and all that, go ahead. It's your life and it's your kid.
Okay, I agree with a lot of that. The only thing I would argue about that is going to probably hammer home the disparity between the rich and the poor schools because why not funnel every single person over to Allen?
Well, I mean, parents got to pick up and move. They got to go get a spot somewhere.
Oh, Gavin. I'll tell you some stories off air, and I can tell you multiple schools that I know for a
I'm
fact
sure it
have
would
done that exact
it already,
thing.
It already is happening.
Yeah. And
you're just making it more difficult on the family. They got to move while they're still in middle school.
Yeah, we'll just pay for everything. You know what's wild, though, is the private schools, there are no such restrictions like that. Like, I know for a fact there are big-time athletes who are now playing professionally in their sport of their choosing that had their house paid for by the private school so they would come there. But
wow.
There's no such restrictions in the TAPS programs.
Wow, that's amazing. Appreciate the insights, Hagee. And
appreciate
we
that.
Look forward to asking you more about the day's big sports stories as Hagee and Corey Majors will join us coming up at 6:40. Okay, Kevin Clark in the Ringer. He writes, you know, it's easier than ever to be average in the NFL. And you look right now at the NFC, there's like, what, 10, 12 teams that could be playoff teams? And it's really hard to decipher which ones are really good.
I agree.
Are the Cowboys better than the Lions? I'm not sure.
It's a 50-50 right now.
And the reason that he says NFL front office sources told him that, it's not just his opinion. It's that it's easier than ever to get quarterback play to be sufficient. The barrier for entry to be at least average and possibly be a playoff team that could go on a run and win the Super Bowl is to have decent quarterback play. But there are more now trained quarterbacks coming out of college because of all the specialized training that they get beginning at the age of 8 or 9 or 10, mm-hmm. and especially through high school, all the camps that you can go to. And then once they get to college, they're now playing a system that the NFL is more open to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you can get a guy like Nick Foles leading the Eagles to the Super Bowl. They had a very modern offense that was catered to getting the most out of what he does, simplify the decision-making process,
yep.
and boom. Now Nick Foles has taken the Eagles to a Super Bowl championship, and more quarterbacks are coming to the NFL already capable of putting up a 105 passer rating as a rookie. So
except for Baker.
Yeah. So yeah, but even he even he did it his rookie year. So the handful of teams that are horrible.
He put up 100 yesterday. Or Monday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100 yards. They
13
either,
quarterback rating.
I wish Jeff was here. I only do that to kind of just rub it in Jeff's face.
So we're watching the Mavs and Pistons over here on the TV. Is this Porzingis checking in for the first time?
They're getting ready for the tip-off. Yeah.
So the teams that are horrible are one of two things. You're either doing it on purpose or you are so pathetic because you're not paying attention to any of the modern ways that should really make you Teflon from being this bad. You know, Miami, the Jets, Washington, Cincy, they all took different paths. Miami's tanking. The Jets had had a couple of tanking years, and then the quarterback that they got hurt, and they had to give up a bunch of first-round picks to get him. Mm-hmm. Washington, pathetic, dysfunctional.
Period.
And Cincinnati, pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I will say for Cincinnati, putting them in that, is they did make the playoffs quite a bit. They just could never win a playoff game. And we all knew that they were stuck. I, you know, nothing against TCU fans. Andy Dalton was a great quarterback there. He's been an average quarterback in the NFL. But when you have an average quarterback, you have to have greatness around that person. And they just had pretty good around him. So Cincinnati now is in that, and maybe they stay in that for a while. But they did have a nice, I'd say, 4 or 5 year stretch of just being a competitive 8 to 10 win team.
So Kevin Clark in The Ringer writes that amongst the thing people told him is that you just have to be good at executing all of the well-established salary cap strategies. And 10 years into a new collective bargaining agreement, there are no secrets. So either you're ignoring how to manage your cap, you're ignoring what to do with your free agent moves and where to avoid trouble, and you're ignoring all of the draft stuff that has been well established as far as what is going to lead you to the high probability of having hits on certain positions.
Are you saying they're being hard-headed?
Yeah.
Just that simple.
You know,
they're ignoring all the obvious.
Yeah. You know, it's billionaires who have all have pretty much since they hit the jackpot have assumed I'm smarter than everybody, and right. I'm going to continue to operate the way it is.
I guess out of those teams, the only team, and help me if I'm wrong, out of those teams, Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback, so they at least found a quarterback. They could just find nothing else. And I'm not saying Stafford's unbelievable. He's just a good quarterback. I think in that Dak Prescott category of like good, not great.
He's in the top
20. All those
20.
Other teams. You know, you started off with quarterback. They can't find a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Or they draft RG3, and then he gets hurt after year one, and so that ends that scenario.
Yeah, or you're not well enough coached, or you don't have a good enough medical staff to keep a quarterback like Washington. So what's it then mean for the Cowboys? And I think there's a couple of things. Number one, it's harder than ever to discern between is my team a real contender or are they just amongst the collection of teams that are doing enough of the things right? Along with, you know, this idea that it's easier than ever to be average, it can be more difficult than ever to be one of the teams that is climbing above that average because you have to be totally methodical and consistent with having very good off seasons every time they come back around. And only a very few teams are executing at that level. The Eagles, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Chiefs right now. Mm-hmm. So the thing the Cowboys aren't doing that those teams are is when they're having players come up for major contracts, the Cowboys are like, well, we drafted you, we developed you, and now we're paying you. Where the smarter teams are saying, well, you know, you've been kind of injured, and if we let you walk, we're going to get a comp pick, and we could trade a fifth-round pick for a guy like Michael Bennett who's going to give us 80% of your production at about half of your cost. So that is the difficult hurdle I think the Cowboys need to cross in order to become one of the teams that's executing at a high level all of their offseason strategies.
I think you're right, and I think they're taking baby steps, or at least they've broken it down to a position group. I think what they're doing is they've decided that they're not going to pay their secondary guys because they just let a whole group of them 2-3 years ago with Barry Church and Brandon Carr, those guys just go. And they said, we will draft. And so they've gotten those. And I don't know that they – and that's one of the reasons they didn't pay Earl Thomas. I wanted them to get Earl Thomas. I thought he would create turnovers for that secondary. But they said, no, we draft players in the secondary. So that might be the one position group that they're letting walk away, but they're trying to keep skill position and offensive linemen and defensive ends, I think. That's what they're paying.
Okay, the game is 2 minutes old, and Porzingis has two buckets.
5 points. He posted up Drummond kind of on a transition and then immediately just shot over him, no dribble. And then he was kind of the trailer on a rebound, and it's kind of very Dirk Nowitzki at the top of the key, catch, mm-hmm. shoot, swish. So he has 5 points to start the game.
He's got a steal as well, it looks like, and a rebound.
Oh, and I got an update for you on that quick Art Briles story. This is the latest from the Dallas Morning News at 4:30 this evening. The UIL met today, told Morning News that Mount Vernon won't face the possibility of forfeiture after the two players were ruled ineligible. The two players were ruled ineligible at that meeting, but they're going to give them a chance to apply for reinstatement. They're still ruling ineligible, but they can appeal it to the UIL, which they say they're going to do today.
All right.
So they're still ineligible.
While you were saying that, we're going to the NBA Finals.
Did you see? I'm telling you, Porzingis is for real.
Porzingis just missed, but he's hit 2 threes now. He's 3 of 4 from the field for 8 points.
All right. All hail the great Porzingis. Now let's get those rebound numbers up. Can we get like 25 and 10 from you? Okay. When we come back, G-Bag Nation.
Swish.
Baseball tonight. Is the best baseball team in the history of Texas going to be out in round one? We'll discuss it next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Segment's brought to you by Blue 449 and Denny's, and it's brought to you by the Texans Kent Academies, plus Classic Chevrolet and Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our buddy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Official lawyer of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Okay, it is baseball playoff time. Braves and Cardinals are in progress. Last time I looked at it, it was 13-1.
It still is, bottom of the sixth.
Okay, at 7:37, though, Dodgers and Nationals, it's going to be Game 5 in Los Angeles, Strasburg against Bueller. The Dodgers are actually a betting favorite, Mike, at about minus 150, and I was watching Darren Revelle's Twitter account of the Action Network, and he's tracking some of the biggest bets that have come in. And there have been a lot of big bets coming in on Los Angeles to win this game. I would look at it more of a coin flip. How about you?
I guess I'll give the edge to L.A. They had a better season. Now, the Washington Nationals, I thought, should have fired their manager 2 months into the season just because how bad they were playing. And so if you take out the first 2 months of the season for both teams, because L.A. had good start to finish, their record for the Dodgers was just a little better if you take out April and May. So the Nationals played almost as good as baseball as the Dodgers from June on. That being said, it is in L.A. They have made the World Series 3 years in a row? 2 years in a row?
It could be the third.
2 years in a row. This would be their third year. They've made the NLCS, I think, more than 2 times in a row. So I see it. Walker Buehler is super awesome. He did throw a one-hitter in game one.
Okay, so the matchup's probably going his favor.
If the Washington Nationals win this game and they keep winning, what does it say to their fan base or just baseball fans? They lose their best player to free agency, Bryce Harper, and the team goes better than they've ever been before.
Well, it happened in 2001. They didn't win it all, but you had A-Rod leave the Seattle Mariners. Then they tied for the greatest record in Major League Baseball history in the regular season. They had good players. They had Juan Soto, who had the greatest year in the history of baseball for a teenager. Mm-hmm. Anthony Rendon played at an MVP level. I mean, they had guys that had really big years. Strasburg had a great year. Max Scherzer had a good year for him, great year for most people. They picked up Patrick Corbin with that money. Patrick Corbin would be the Rangers' number one starting pitcher in their rotation. And I'm not taking anything away from Minor and Lynn. You'd have a three-pack of really great starting pitchers. But they just had guys really step up in the absence of Bryce Harper. And let's face it, Bryce Harper is a good player. He's way more name than he is production. So
yeah, Trout's the better player.
And you know what? Bryce Harper really, besides 1 year in his career, is not a top 10 player in Major League Baseball. Top 20, I'll give it to him. But if you look at his numbers overall, the home runs, the RBIs, the runs scored, the batting average, they're good. But they are not Mookie Betts. They're not Nolan Arenado.
Damn, Mike, you're going through the whole clip. Right,
they're not Christian Yelich.
We don't have any more bullets left, man.
So, I mean, Bryce Harper was a good player that was really hyped up at 15, and he was one of the greatest, you know, kids in high school in the history of our lifetime. But he's never produced at the level people thought he would produce at when he was 15 to 18 years old.
Okay, speaking of thinking baseball players are going to produce, Mattress Mac down there in Houston at Gallery Furniture. You see what he did?
Well, he bet the big bet for them to win the World Series.
Yeah, he bet 3.5, and then the next day he bet 1.5. So his total wagers now on the Astros to win the World Series are at $5 million. How nerve? Could you sleep tonight?
Yeah, but he did that because if they win, he loses $15
million. Oh, it was offset?
Yes.
Because of the furniture promotions that he does?
If you buy a betting that's $3,000 or more and the Astros win the World Series, he refunds all of your money, every penny of it. So what he did was he was protecting himself. And then from what I understand, he's actually from, I think, Bishop Lynch and was a really good player, I found out, a high school baseball player, very liked guy, even in this Metroplex. And so it was also more promotion. He makes, I think... I remember doing the deal, $100 to $150 million a year.
Wow.
So this
move of mattresses for the mob.
This $15 million, I found out through people texting, and he has a few other businesses that are major businesses too, but I can't remember what
I
they are.
I can't imagine having that kind of money on a single game really tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, you got to win that one and then win two more series to win the bet. That would be super nervous time.
Did you say he can't sleep at night? He got a mattress.
He didn't bet on the Astros in 2017, but he did this promotion and he lost a little over $10 million that year in refunding people's money when the Astros won it all. So he knew that this one had gotten over $15 million because how good the Astros were, and I think it closed off around the All-Star break. Like, you couldn't buy furniture and still get it free once the All-Star break happened because everybody knew how great they were.
Wow. So tomorrow, the Astros – by the way, let's clean up the tease there. I teased, is the best team in the history of the state of Texas about to be out in round one. Would you agree with that this Houston team is the best ever?
Ranger fans are going to crush me for this, but yes, this is – two players with 300 strikeouts. It's only happened one other time in the history of baseball. Cole Verlander, you traded for Zach Greinke. Your lineup, Carlos Correa, who's a middle-of-the-lineup guy, is now batting seventh because of Alvarez at first base and what other guys have done. I mean, it's an all-star lineup with the two best pitchers in the American League. Nobody's better than Verlander. Nobody's better than Garrett Cole. And they have a chance. If they can't hit hard fastballs tomorrow and then they start cheating and then they get out on sliders, it's over because they can't really score against the Tampa Bay Rays.
They do have a significant kryptonite. And how would the ALCS matchup treat them in that situation against the Yankees?
Well, I mean, as much as I'm not a fan of the Yankees, I'd hope it's the Yankees because I can't stand Tampa Bay, not for the players or the – I mean, they're doing an unbelievable job at $60-something million dollars of salary, but they have no fans. Nobody cares about Tampa Bay. And so I don't want them to win – you know, and also as a Ranger fan, I'm like, that stinks. Like, they don't spend money. They don't care about their team. They have arguably, besides Oakland, the worst stadium in baseball, and they're going to go to another World Series possibly. I think the Yankees match up well against Tampa, and Tampa would lose that series, but I thought this would be a sweep, and it's not a sweep. So maybe Tampa just has that magic sauce when you need it.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. There's some baseball tonight stuff with Mikey B. There's development in the Colin Kaepernick, the Richard Sherman and Baker Mayfield story. Richard Sherman, after last night saying, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't know if he lost any sleep over it, but he did say, my bad today. He went out with Pat McAfee.
They hooked it out.
He says, I never want anybody to deal with some bleep that they didn't do. So the questions that he's going to get and the annoying nonsense questions about a game that's already been done, sure, he'll get an apology for that. I'll probably reach out to him via text or social media to actually get a hold of him, to talk to him in person, I mean on the phone. But yeah,
that's cool.
Because that sucks, says Richard Sherman. But first off, that was a great name y'all came up with, Dapgate. I was crying laughing.
Dapgate, I love it.
But yeah, he definitely deserves an apology. That's from Richard Sherman today.
Did you hear what Baker Mayfield said today?
You want to provide that?
Well, they basically asked him what he thought about it, and the fact that the camera did show him, you know, shaking hands with him. He goes, "This is the first time video evidence helped me out."
pretty good stuff there. I think both of them probably come out looking pretty good, you know? I think there are some people that are always going to hate whatever Richard Sherman says. That, you know, they've been anti-Richard Sherman from the very beginning. But I think when you're wrong, to be able to be like, that's my bad, it really shows tremendous character to me.
And I do think players play harder when a guy talks trash all the time and pumps himself up like Baker Mayfield does. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he'll be that good. Maybe someday he'll be that good that he can talk that much trash and still beat everybody he wants to beat. But to me, you made this bed, and now you can lie in it. When people really want to sack you, people really want to disrespect you at every turn that they can get. Baker, you did it to yourself. Hey, it's fine. Jeff loves it, and maybe he'll overcome his being arrogant and cocky, and maybe confident would be the word that Jeff uses. But, I mean, you want to beat the S out of people that talk like that, that really haven't accomplished anything at the highest level.
I mean, he didn't even do anything wrong, and the Niners were convinced that he had.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Sherman goes back to the sideline talking about, did you see that disrespectful punk? And the next thing you know, they're out there playing with added intensity. And sometimes that can be the deciding factor between winning and losing in a 16-game season. It can be devastating. Okay, so we find a way to get after Baker Mayfield, even though he didn't do anything wrong. I love it. Okay, how about some Cowboys facts here? Some facts only.
Just the fact, Jack.
200, that's the number Amari Cooper he got. He became the only player in Cowboys history to record multiple games with 200 receiving yards, hauling in 11 catches for a career-best 226 against the Packers.
I think Ben and Skin had a number that, you know, he's now played in 16 games with the Cowboys, which is a full season.
Right.
Guess how many yards he had?
Like over 1,400
or 1,400 yards.
Yeah, he's doing well. You know, I think
it's amazing, though, that he is that great and doesn't have the best range of catching a ball if it's misthrown a little bit.
I mean, it's worse than T.O., right? And T.O. was notorious for that kind of stuff.
It had to be right on the numbers for T.O.
I was hoping when he came over last year, because he was so focused. I mean, we didn't see much of that drop nonsense at all.
Right.
But it was part of the label coming over from the Oakland Raiders. And I thought, well, maybe that was just a function of some weird stuff that was happening with the Raiders. But, yeah, sure enough, it popped back up. And when he's asked about it, he's always funny, you know, like, well, I'm not used to, you know, having to make contested catches because I'm so open. But he does. He runs the best routes.
Yes,
he's incredible once he has the ball in his hands. Like,
he
his ability to punish runners. He's still, to me, one of the best, I would say, six receivers in the game.
You know who's ridiculous is the DeAndre Hopkins. I think he went the entire season last year without any drops. Zero drops.
Wow.
None.
And he makes some incredible catches.
Yeah.
Okay, next fact here. 38.4%. The Dallas defense has been relentless in its pursuit of quarterbacks in 2019. They've generated 73 pressures through five games, a pressure rate of 38.4, which is ninth highest in the NFL. We were talking about this earlier, Mike, talking about the Cowboys' ability to pressure the quarterback, and they're doing it at a very high rate. For whatever reason, it's not translating into, you know, really making the quarterback feel that pressure.
I guess the way that you explained it earlier is we can get pressure from the outside, whether it's from Tank or with Quinn. Those are the only two. I know Dorrance Armstrong got a sack. I don't want to take anything away from him. But really, those are the only two guys that can kind of consistently get pressure. But because zero people are doing anything at the defensive tackle position, we got the pressure. Now he's stepped up, and now he's going to slide left or right. Or maybe he just steps up and then gives a little toss to a running back running across 3 or 4 yards and let him do. Is it does have to be somebody that's considered a defensive tackle helping out the outside guys creating pressure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like number one in the NFL at quarterbacks escaping their pressure.
Has to be. If you're that high at the pressure, but yet we don't see the sacks, we don't see the turnovers, then it has to be that.
Well, it's close, and you know, maybe this will be the offseason where the Cowboys say, dang it, we have to do whatever it takes to get a playmaking defensive tackle. But, you know, up till this point, they have been so staunch on not investing assets. Something.
I know I'm going to change the subject here because I'm just interested in this Dallas Maverick game. Porzingis played like the first 3 minutes, did awesome, and they took him out. I don't know if he's going to come back.
Probably won't.
In the game. Luka did play the first 10 minutes of this game, and they took him out. Maybe that's it for Luka. Like, let's play 10 minutes in a row. But I just wonder if Porzingis, was it we're only going to play you 3 minutes,
or preseason, man.
You did great, so we don't need to see anymore.
It's like, to me, it's like watching a running back or a quarterback in a preseason game. You don't want to see them.
Bubble wrap, baby.
But
bubble wrap.
I will say this. Even Dirk said to get his sea legs, to get his court legs, you know, talking to NBA players, if you haven't played in 19 months and then in preseason basketball you play 3 minutes, it might be super awesome to watch the first 5 minutes, but what's going to happen when he's in this 15th minute in the NBA opener and he's like, I am sucking wind because I haven't done this in 20 months.
You know, I think that's a good point. Maybe it's like a pitcher in spring training. It's like, okay, here you go. What do they start at? 30 pitches?
Yeah, 30, then 45, then 60, then 75, then 90, and we're going into the season.
Yeah, and that, you know, maybe over the – and that would be fine with me because I wouldn't mind tuning in for like the first 10 minutes of Mavs games for the entire preseason to see Porzingis and Luka. I think they are acknowledging the significant injury risk with a guy that's 7'3" and his history as well. And I think the Mavs are being smart, and I hope they don't cave to public pressure from people like you, Mike. Yeah.
Like when I call him names.
Yeah, sissy, get out there and play. Okay, when we come back, it's time to find out what's coming up with the KNC Masterpiece. We'll talk with Kevin and Corey about the day's big sports stories next in the G-Back Nation.
Man, come on. Southwest Kia is home of 250 vehicles at 250 down and 250 a month or less. Go see southwestkia.com, yo.
Okay, it's time to hand it off to the KNC Masterpiece here. They're actually coming up from 8 to midnight. Coming up next will be the Cowboys Happy Hour.
Happy Hour.
So we're looking forward to that Cowboys Happy Hour. We're also looking forward to seeing you tomorrow in Irving off of Regent Boulevard. Flagtober rolls on. We're taking 100 flags, and we'll be on at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, located off 635 in Irving at 3165 Regent Boulevard. And we'll not only have flags, we'll have G-Bag Nation, Pure Gold as always, Back Window decals, Tolo decals, and a great fellowship, plus a tremendous Cajun menu. They brought by lunch here today about 1 o'clock or so, and the Ben and Skin Show and us, we all just tore right into it. It was amazing. Shrimp po' boys.
I love po' boys.
Cajun quesadillas.
And yeah, bread buddy. Pudding, too.
Oh, yeah. I ate way
Kevin's
too much
never
of that.
Had bread pudding before. Yeah.
Really? Do you have some in there?
No.
Why not?
You know what
wait
it is?
For it.
Because, you know.
Wait for
oh,
it.
Oh, soda.
State of the art.
Gotta wait for it.
Some of my choices.
Couple
whatnot.
Bites of it.
True.
Yeah. I've
cheat
never,
meal.
You know, one of the reasons I got this big to begin with, Gavin, is I don't do well in moderation. Okay. So it's kind of the thing where I can either not eat any of it or I can just get a spoon and grab the tub and eat it all. So I feel like those are the two options that I usually have.
What would you do? Let's say it wasn't pizza today, but let's say pizza. When you were big,
yeah.
How much pizza could you eat watching like a sporting event?
You know, the thing that always got me, it's the add-ons. So I would eat like half a large pizza, which doesn't sound insane,
right?
But then like if
most guys do
about,
that
about yeah. Four slices,
yeah, but then there's like the cheese sticks, or if they had the dessert pizza, or if I had my own dessert. And so it was just the extra stuff that would always get me, because I'm like, I'll take that and that too.
So have you gone completely away from all that stuff, locked in?
No, not really.
Because I could see
be...
it like smoking a cigarette where you're like, I'm back.
Yeah, yeah. I like have to think about it a little bit more. And I don't usually make like rash decisions, which my life used to just be all rash decisions when it comes to eating. I'm like, okay, well, you know, we've been good about blah, 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 blah. And so I like calculate it out a little bit more.
For me being in maintenance, I always feel like this. If I'm going to really cheat and just have, I'm like, I want it to be really good. And if you're not like a fan of bread pudding or like, then
yeah,
you're like,
that's a good
you're
point.
Like, what am I going to put all these calories inside of me for something that I think is maybe good, maybe just okay? I'd rather like if it's a bowl of ice cream. You know, like
that's probably why I circulate between like pizza places, Freebirds, and Golden Chick, because I was like, oh man, I like all these places a lot. And ooh, so yeah. Stick with what you know.
Yeah, really good choices. Who doesn't love a good burrito? Okay, speaking of good burritos, what's coming up on your show tonight?
And we got Brian Broaddus joining us for an entire hour of football talk tonight, 9 to 10 o'clock. He'll be in studio with us. Woo. And, you know, he's lost, what, 55 pounds, almost 60 pounds on soda as well.
You know what they say about Broaddus, taco, burrito, what you got in that Speedo?
Yeah,
I did know that. Yeah. So we'll ask him about that song later.
Oh my God! Also, I hope we do not.
Right
is
out of the
gate,
that
old school cheer at Duncanville.
I don't know.
For the swim team.
I don't know.
At 8 o'clock, you get to.
Well,
make...
no. What do you mean you don't know? Where did it come from? Then why do you know that?
I've heard that before.
I've heard it, and so I thought it was funny, and so I wanted to repeat it. And there was my chance since we did that. So
okay. At 8 o'clock, you get to make one move at the trade deadline. What are you making the move for the Cowboys? If you make a move at all. Are you just leaving this team the way it is? Or are you going to try and go get something? What are we going to get? And then at 8:22, SMU, I was just seeing Eric Dickerson, Craig James, some former players feel like they are being kind of shunned by the program and that they're not embracing the past and those great players of the Pony Express. And they feel like they should get that opportunity to be, you know, not have to pay to go to games and get to go into the locker room and see the players. And they're kind of upset about it. And I kind of wanted to ask questions about, you know, what you expect whenever you had something like that incident happen.
That's unique.
Yeah, and should
the
they embrace
death
it?
Death penalty.
Should they
so often organizations can lose touch with their history, and it happens all the time where players feel disrespected just because all of the people they knew when they played someplace are different. You know, the front office, the coaches, mm-hmm. all the players, the owners are totally different. And teams have to make, like, conscious decisions like, let's go back to our history and make sure that these people know that they're still part of our family. So it might just be something that SMU needs a reminder, but it also could be something that they don't want to because of, you know, what that brings up and the associations and the stories that are going to get rehashed again and again and again. If I'm SMU, I'm probably thinking, we don't need to be ashamed of that. It was so long ago. These guys are legends. Let's put them out there. And if people want to whisper, they're whispering anyway. What
is
do you think, Steve?
Is there, real quick, is there any way that they don't want that to happen because Craig James will get the coach fired?
Good point.
That's a Texas
Everybody
Tech.
But Craig.
That's a Texas Tech issue. I was just thinking that it was maybe a pure misunderstanding that the SMU officials would like him to come back, but they heard they only come back if you pay them first.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Give him that gold Trans Am.
I sure would like to go at that game. You got a little something from my pocket.
Yeah, something happens.
When I played.
Help me light the load a little bit.
Come on, y'all change. What's up?
How much into this Mavs game are you? Bassick's been pacing back and forth, wanting to get Porzingis back in the
Corey
game.
Corey has to.
We're never losing again. based on what I saw in the first 3 minutes of this game, it was fantastic. Kristaps was all over the place. You can't defend that guy. Luka is going to be able to do whatever he wants on the court.
Wilt's 50-25 is in trouble for a season.
Yeah, absolutely.
No
it might be
in
75.
Hell he could get 25 rebounds.
75
in a game.
Points
but
a game.
50, you're okay with 50.
Yeah, I'm much more apt to believe that Kristaps could score 50 than he could get 25 rebounds. That's never going to happen.
It'd be a good week for him.
Yeah, that's a good week for him. Yeah. I agree with that.
It's a lot of fun to be excited about Mavs basketball. I mean, 2 years ago, we were excited about Dennis Smith Jr., and it didn't quite turn out the way we wanted. And then last year, we were excited about Luka. And yeah, that carried you all season, the Luka excitement.
Yeah.
Right now, the excitement of what Kristaps is potentially going to be with Luka, that's the thing that's really – it's fun. We started – when we were starting on the weekends, the Mavs, their first game – or our first show – was the day of the Lakers' Mother's Day massacre, whenever they just blew them out of the water. So for us, we love talking basketball. It was so mm-hmm. exciting to be around it at that time, and it's been a while since we've been really excited about it.
You're talking about how the fans like Porzingis at that open practice where 8,850 fans showed up out of nowhere. They thought it might be 2,000. Every time he touched the ball, because he started out so strong, MVP, MVP. It was like, Luka, yeah, but – it was all Porzingis. They were going crazy over him.
I mean, when do you guys think the last time it was this exciting for Mavs preseason? Because, you know, by the time they won the championship, the preseason was like, oh, whatever, you know, let me know after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
There was the passionate core, but as far as captivating DFW for exhibitions.
You're exactly right, because even going into that season, arms were folded. Nobody thought they'd get out of the first round, one and done. After they won the championship, there was a lockout. And then you didn't have the real team back because Cuban blew it up. So nobody looked forward to the season except maybe before they went to the first finals when they were still getting good. Because after the first finals, the next season, they win 67, but they were embarrassed from the finals.
Yeah. I think it was huge after the Mavericks beat Utah that first time they made the playoffs.
Before
and then we
those
knew
finals.
We were getting a new arena to go with Dirk and Finley and
early
Nash.
Early 2000s.
So it's like, man, this is awesome. And then you had making it to the conference finals in 03. So you were really excited. And you added, we were really excited about this, super excited. It just didn't work. Antoine Walker and Antoine Jameson.
Oh, I remember that.
And it was like, we are going all the way. We have five all-stars on one team.
So it's been almost 20 years. I'm really fascinated to see what happens if this team does well, because neither Luka nor Kristaps have been on an NBA team that's been good. Like, neither one of them have experienced that. So if the Mavericks start to surge up in the standings and they're legitimately in the playoff race, I'm really interested to see how they roll with
it. Have you not been watching this preseason game, Kevin? That is the perfect depiction of what's going to happen.
Against the Pistons, that, okay, gotcha.
I mean, it's very clear that they're going to have very good chemistry immediately. Yeah. Luka and Porzingis are not going to have any trouble scoring.
No. I will say with preseason, and Porzingis has already proven he's an all-star when healthy.
Sure.
Chris, do you remember, I'm going to go back when it was, reunion rowdies, and it was like, we're going to get back. Even though we had the Roy Tarpley injury, do you remember how unbelievably great Randy White was in the preseason?
Yes.
It was like 25 points and 10 rebounds. Like, we did draft Karl Malone Jr.
Right, wow. Same college.
And then the season started, and it wasn't terrible. The same.
The man.
He was too short.
That's different, Randy.
Artolo Lee Snodgrass has chimed in via Twitter, at Gavin Dawson, at G-Bag Nation, to let us know the taco burrito cheer is from a Will Ferrell Saturday Night Live skit.
Okay. I knew I'd heard it. I didn't make it up.
Probably the Spartans.
The Spartans, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad, though. I like the idea that, like, it just came up and Bassick invented it, because that would just lead to all these other questions.
It does live in our house. Like, it's not that just came into my brain from 15 years ago.
Does that mean you wear a Speedo, and then that's when the...
No, I think it means that Broadus has a beach body ready, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Taco burrito, what you got in that Speedo?
Okay.
I mean, he's rocking it like that.
Probably his private parts.
Yeah. What do you think about the Astros? Are they going to lose tomorrow?
I hope so. Like, I would love the World Series favorite getting dropped by the lowest payroll team in baseball. So, I mean, look, I have no doubt that the long-term future for the Astros is still solid, but this is a year they should win the World Series. And if you're able to take away one of those years and you're still only going up against a one World Series Astro team instead of a two favored to win three, et cetera. That makes it seem so much less baseball depressing.
They can put together some serious bragging rights.
No, absolutely. Especially in a 2020 season where, like, you know, you hope for the best, but outside of, like, making some blockbuster moves, the Rangers are not going to be in a position where they're predicted to make the playoffs.
Right.
Versus you'd think the Astros would be, like, the World Series favorites. And so if you're coming off a crippling defeat and maybe we pick up somebody good, all of a sudden you're like, I know we didn't close the gap, but maybe we took a couple steps closer. I'd like that.
How many years do they have left of doing this, Mike?
I'd say at least two, if not three, and then we'll see how much money they want to spend. But I think they have 2 years left of being great, and then we'll see from there. Because I think when you start predicting five more years and stuff like that, we've just seen in sports how almost impossible it is to predict, oh, they're going to be great for 5 to 10 more years.
So you're thinking Verlander will remain at ace level for a couple of more seasons?
He does have 2 years left on his contract, so I assume Verlander will be there. I do assume they're going to re-sign Gerrit Cole, and then they have nobody leaving their offense.
And they're going to have Greinke.
And Greinke is under a contract for two more years.
Gentlemen, we've got an update.
Lance McCullers comes back.
On Mike's little chant. Tolo from the 318 says, the Will Ferrell movie was the one about having gas after eating tacos and burritos. The taco burritos was coming out of that Speedo.
That is
disgusting.
That means it's time to go.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, my Lord. I could have lived without learning that information. I appreciate the Tolos for providing it. I just am sad now that I know it.
Now you know.
So brought us for 1 hour. What hour is that? The 8 o'clock?
9 to 10.
9 o'clock hour. That's going to be great. You better have a lot of good questions.
Oh, we always do.
Prepared for Broadus.
We actually used to do this with Broadus a lot back when we started at nights. Broadus would come on for an hour with us, and then it kind of dwindled to one segment.
We got too big time, and we said we're going to need less time from
you,
buddy.
He requested the hour, so we will accommodate.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Brian Broadus with the KNC Masterpiece coming up 9 to 10. Coming up next, it is the happy hour. You got the Cowboys broadcasting team. They're going to be carrying that broadcast baton for the entire hour. And then coming up at 8 o'clock, you'll have the KNC Masterpiece. Thanks to Mike Bassick, who is already in the elevator. He did a hell of a job today, fighting through illness, by the way.
Had
a massive diarrhea situation going on. He battled, though. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, Chris Arnold. Jeff Kavanaugh shall return tomorrow. Sir. And we're going to be on remote there at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.